Hey guys, welcome back to Star Wars Earbud Podcast. I'm Halls from Blue Harvest. I got my buddy Steel from Steel Wars here. It's our 36th episode.
What's up?
Going through the Star Wars year by year book. And since we have a rule, a Steel rule, that every third episode gets to go up on the free feed instead of just the Patreon, everybody gets to hear this one because it's divisible by three.
We're also dangling a bit of bait out there.
Yeah. Great.
Because like you can go back, drop your $3 on either Patreon, and you got 35 other episodes good to go. Timeless. Timeless trips down memory lane.
Lots of talk about Carl and McDonald's.
And spaceships and toys.
And lots of spaceship and toys. And also ends.
And flannel wearing Mavericks.
Ooh. You know, I've been trying to find that documentary you were telling me about. The one that has a lot of stuff about Marsha Lucas in it. And I still haven't been able to really locate it.
It's called Hollywood Icons, Star Wars Uncovered, or something like that.
Okay.
But it's very good. I would like, it would be a good discussion point.
Okay. Yeah. I'll see if I can't find it.
Because it really explains the prequels. No, in all honesty, it just like, because I just remember like after the prequels, just like, is Chane? What's different? It's this Marsha Lucas. But anyway, this is our one of our Patreon exclusive little bits of material where we go back in Star Wars history as we page through the the Star Wars year by year of visual history, updated and expanded edition. For the sickos there that like to read along, your neens. And they watch along on YouTube also. It's page 140.
Look at us, 36 episodes in, 140 pages in. Look at us.
Banging. Hey, it is a history podcast, but I don't have anyone to talk to this about beforehand probably. But this morning, just a little bit of modern day, this one day we will be reading this out. Oh, wow. That's...
I like that positive thinking, buddy. Let's go with it. Just keep going. Keep rolling.
You don't think we're going to get, you don't think you're going to make it, or you don't think they're going to have the even more updated and expanded edition?
Oh, no, I'm positive. We got it. We're going to make it, and they're going to have the updated book.
Hey, would you be able to turn down your headphone sound just a little bit? I feel like I'm getting a little bit of kickback.
How's that?
There's a little bit. I don't know. Maybe I'll just put this microphone a bit further away. There you go. I think that will stop it. Can you still hear me? A-okay?
Yeah, I can still hear you.
All right, fantastic. But this morning, sweet poster.
Oh yeah.
Acolyte, Bloodstains, Lightsabers, Trailer Tomorrow.
Yep, and it's coming out June 4th. The show.
That doesn't mean anything though, does it?
What do you mean?
Oh, you're saying it like it was like good old June 4th.
No. That's just the day it's coming out. So a little less than 3 months.
Oh, that'll fly by. That means, I was going to say that means I'm going to Australia, and I'm like, yeah, I probably will be in Australia in June. I've never been in the one country for any of these after COVID.
Really?
Yeah. Like I've always bounced back. So it's always, that's why I'm always talking to you and you can hear like kookaburras and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Those calls where you're out of the country are real fun.
The critters. Yeah, I'm so excited because it's just where like the last half of the Mandoverse went, just it was haywire for many different reasons, and Andor was just banging, and just to get a fresh slate again.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, this one's real exciting to me because it's kind of like the first time we're going to see that era on screen. So I'm pretty excited for it. I think it's going to be pretty exciting.
And with all respect to my Australian brethren and my American setmates, best Star Wars is English Star Wars.
All right. Okay.
Come on, buddy. Think about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. I definitely will, buddy. Let's think about it. Let's think about it here. Rise of Skywalker. English Star Wars. Phantom Menace.
Yeah.
Star Wars. It's great. It's Star Wars.
All it needed was a bit of Marsha Lucas.
Yep.
And that's all it needed. Like, it's just so. And when you think about the Phantom edit and stuff, it's just like, oh. Because that's like he re-edited it for a version that I like far more. Right. And Marsha Lucas was an Oscar-winning editing savant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But anyway, also in sort of modern but throwback news, I'm very close to having my original Kenner figures re-lined up.
Nice. Hey, let me ask you, do you do anything special to keep them standing in the case of an earthquake?
I've got them on figure stands, but okay. Like, I don't know. I haven't, we'll find out. I get the feeling though, that if they get knocked over, I'm going to have bigger things to worry about that day.
Probably. You're probably right. You're probably very right.
All the earthquakes, I don't feel them enough. Like, you know, you see on Twitter, because LA, there's a fair few compared to Australia where there was like, there was one in just where I, like, that we felt where I lived in South Yarra. And the guy that ran the building, like this old legendary dude that knew, like he was sort of involved in show business in the 60s and stuff, this guy Dot, absolute gun of a dude. And he was interviewed for it, like on the news. That's how big a news an earthquake was in Melbourne.
Nice.
That
I've never experienced an earthquake.
Oh, and guess what we were doing while we were watching, while the earthquake was quaking?
What was that?
Lost.
Oh.
For the first time as well. Oh. First run through. So we're just like,
is the smoke monster here?
Yeah, man. Hey, so we're cracking into page 140. It's the second half, August, December of 1988. So the darkest of times.
Mm-hmm.
But there's some bangers in here. I think it's a good spread. Have you found your book? By the surprise in your voice, it feels like you have not found your book.
No, buddy. Now, I have, let me tell you what I've done, buddy. I have Tetris'd myself out of a section of my basement in my house because there's too many boxes. Now, that book is in one of those boxes. So the only recourse I have at this point, because of how I've been moving everything around, is to just start unpacking boxes and get into the pile of boxes that way. There's no more moving boxes around to get to other boxes. It sure is something.
So I don't know why that's not zooming out. That's where we're at. Do you want to give that one a crack on the
Absolutely. August of 1988, specifically August 12th, Tucker, The Man and His Dream premieres. Directed by Francis Ford Coppola and executive produced by Lucas, the biographical film stars Jeff Bridges as Preston Tucker and Martin Landau, Space 1999, as financier Abe Carrots. The story of Tucker's fight against the big three automobile manufacturers as he struggles to bring the 1948 Tucker sedan to market is shot in California's Marin County. Tucker receives positive critical reviews and lukewarm box office results, although Landau does earn an Academy Award.
Oh, sorry. I just took that down for you.
No problem. Award nomination for Best Supporting Actor. Lucas acquires one of the surviving Tucker automobiles, for his own personal collection. Oh man, that car is sick. That green on that car is sick. What a shade.
It is a good green. And then with the white sidewalls, if you're just listening to the podcast, it's sort of like, it looks like it could be in the Thunderbirds with the marionettes. It does look sick, but it looks like a prick to reverse park.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, something tells me. Oh, it's got the reverse doors on the back, too.
I'm not into that. I would be running into bits of metal and and then Harry trying to open the back at the same time as it's no, Tucker. Chill out, bro. Just some things are just stick with what's already invented.
There were only 51 of those cars ever made. All right.
Hey,
you think Lucas still has that, Tucker?
Yeah, I bet it's going to be in that museum.
Of course it is. Of course it is. Good call. Well, that's got to be opening before too long, right? I feel like they've been working on it forever.
Yes, and I don't think it opens till next year, to be honest.
Okay.
Or maybe the year after. Maybe it's 2025, and I read that last year. So that's why I'm like, oh, 2 years away. That's
okay, that could be.
But it's getting... it's looking pretty good. Like we go past, I haven't been past the construction for a little bit. It's down near the museums and stuff, but it's definitely a lot more closer to the concept drawing than how it looked before.
Okay, that's cool.
But it's been like watching like the Enterprise get built.
Yeah, yeah.
It's pretty sick. Hey, but Tucker, a man in his dreams. Wait there, I just got to make sure that phone ringing is not mine. No. I'm still hearing myself a little bit on yours. If you can just turn down the volume on your computer of hearing me.
Right, that's what I've been.
Oh, okay, cool. Every time I say it, you lean back and I'm just like, well, you can't lean back for the whole time.
Right.
Anyways, have you seen this film?
I haven't. It's a movie that I knew George Lucas like had some involvement in, but I've never seen it.
I'm not sure if I have. But yeah, I feel like I haven't. Like even when I was doing my 90s backtrack through all things George Lucas, I feel like I got to that and I was just like, nah,
for me,
I don't know about this man and his dreams. Like, like I'm glad he had them, but
I'm gonna ask if you had a trailer ready. I should have known you did.
Let's check it out.
Oh my god!
This man had a lot of dogs.
Car of tomorrow, today. Whoa! And you know who's gonna
be? Ah, Slater!
We are. So revolutionary.
Did you say Christian Slater?
I did.
I think we need it in 60 days or never. It's impossible.
Oh. They hadn't invented the car jack yet.
No, but clearly not.
I wonder if that became a part of Tucker's dreams as a man.
Detroit. They're putting the squeeze.
This is for a restoration. So it doesn't have that 80s like
trailer quality to it.
Because it's probably just a guy going, Tucker was a man and these are his dreams. Wait there. I've got to find the old school one. This is the
This is the money right here.
Yeah. See, we've got the old Paramount thing spinning around.
Thanks, video detective.
Preston Tucker and his family began to build.
What did I tell you about the voiceover?
You were 100% right. It even starts with the same shot as the other trailer, too.
Build the car of the future today.
Is there anything you want to explain first about the dogs?
Well, I traded the old Packer for them.
They would challenge the automotive giants in Detroit.
Is there anybody in this room who can look me in the eye and tell me we can't do it?
a car in your barn is one thing, but mass production, that's something else.
It's the idea that counts, eh? The dream.
It was almost too good to be true.
Detroit, they're putting the squeeze on. We can't buy steel, we can't buy anything. So
that was a shiny red car.
It was shiny as hell. Detroit's putting the moves on them too.
Dude, that you have to go watch this trailer to see how red a car could be.
I made an appointment with Senator Ferguson.
What do you think? A big smile and a pat on the back is going to make him forget he's a senator from Detroit?
Grand idea of yours, selling dealerships for cars that don't exist.
What'd he say?
He said stay out of the car business.
Tucker built the thing. Well, not everything he advertised, not yet, but enough right now to cost billions just to keep up with
him. You don't understand how powerful the forces are that are working against us.
Ever since you road tested the new car, 40 G-men have been following you around the clock.
What for?
You make the car too good.
Oh, well, don't worry about it now. I'll take care of it.
Mr. Tucker, we're from the Securities and Exchange Commission.
Uh-oh.
The only thing Mr. Tucker designed was an elaborate scheme to defraud.
Why would they do something so stupid like that if they know we can prove it's a lie?
But if enough headlines say that I'm a crook, well, that's the end of me in the car, which is what this whole thing's all about, isn't it?
If you're not careful, you're going to spend the next 20 years of your life in prison.
And we are going to build that car, the one we dreamed of, exactly where we want it.
Paramount, a Lucasfilm production of a Francis Coppola film.
Big business closes the door, and the little guy with a new idea, we're sabotaging everything that the country stands for.
These are like pages straight out of George Lucas's diary, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
They can make headlines with lies. We can make bigger headlines with the truth.
He is dead.
Oh, the tiger!
Tucker, the true story of one man and his dream.
That's so close to what I said the voiceover would say.
It's very close.
Tucker.
Well, they didn't even put the subtitle there. It was just Tucker. Coming this August to a theater near you.
Banging. Love it.
I wonder how much money that movie made. Let's see. I can look that up.
That's your end of research.
Yeah, I got you. I got you, buddy. A Man and His Dream. All right. And it says its budget was $24 million and it made $19.7
million.
Sounds like it was the Solo of its day.
Yeah. I think it made about as much money as Tucker did. All right, I will get this next one. It's where are we going? Window. I cannot do this without saying what I'm doing. It's so frustrating.
I think that's good. It's a good habit to be in.
September down to Australia. Star Walking, the Star Wars Appreciation Society of Australia, is launched. 1988.
Look at you. Look at you guys getting a whole... It's not even an also in. It's main page material.
Yeah, you know why they've got the date, right? Like, it's not an also in. It's because the people that started it are just straight nerds that, like... are very organized and keep dates. Like,
so they know exactly the date it was founded and everything.
Oh, yeah. Because they're so, I was always impressed and sort of like maybe a bit stunned that they had all this formal, like, there was a secretary and an associate. Like, they had all positions like in the
structure and.
Yeah. Like a committee and very organized. But I remember going into Minotaur Books. So they started in 1988. I guess just in 1988, I wasn't looking to join a Star Wars fan club.
Wait, wouldn't this have been I thought this was 89 or
80. No, 88. Sorry. Did I go back to saying 98? It's so hard to say 88 now.
Mm hmm. Mm hmm.
But anyway, I always go straight to the 90s. But anyway, I was thinking I don't think I discovered the fan club until like 1994, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel like that was when I discovered it. So then I was thinking, oh my God, I didn't know about it for all this time. What a waste. Because, you know, between then is like half a decade. Mm-hmm. But then I was like, in 1988, I definitely would not have been seeking out Star Wars fan clubs to join. I was probably maybe just in high school. So, yeah, that was – high school works different in Australia. It starts earlier. But anyway, but yeah, that I definitely wouldn't have been – I actually remember – towards the end of high school, setting up my, or maybe it was just after high school, but just setting up my Star Wars toys in my room again.
Mm-hmm.
Because this guy, Jason Rothmeyer, who was a pro skateboarder, he had an interview in 411, and I did the podcast about it ages ago with him. And he had his Star Wars collection out. So then I was like, oh, that looks dope. And then it cool guy permission to do it, because it's like, right. Well, Pro Skater did it. And did you see that little thumb up that came?
Yeah.
A sweet little bonus there, a little CGI for the YouTube viewers. But yes, I remember I was just getting into Star Wars where I was sort of like yearning. I was like, oh, that would be, they need to invent the internet or something.
Right.
So, yeah, I can have people hate me for liking it. But anyway, and I remember finding the flyer for it in Minotaur Books and just going, oh, and they had the meetings listed for the year, and a meeting had just passed, and then the next meeting wasn't for like 3 months, and just like going, oh, the agony of having like,
let me ask you, did you ever go to a Star Walking meeting like early days before the prequels and stuff? Pre-prequels and special editions?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
How was that?
Because it was so hard. It was pure old school Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
So like they'd have the auctions and stuff, and it would just be vintage toys and...
Oh, sick.
And like the real hot things for me were when people, and we'll talk about this a bit later on the episode, would go to Skywalker Ranch. Like they'd travel and then they'd buy t-shirts and like Lucasfilm. I've actually got, that's why I've got one, because I always love them in the auctions.
Yeah.
And so they'd buy an extra t-shirt to sell at the auction. And I remember I got a khaki camel t-shirt with a tonal Lucasfilm embroidery just on the breast pocket, mm-hmm. but it didn't have a pocket. And it was sort of like skate styled, like that sort of embroidery thing. And it just going, this is the dopest t-shirt that ever existed.
That's sick. That is sick. I want to go to Lucasfilm so bad just to go to the gift shop. It's so silly. I just want to go there.
That was definitely like, we get to go to the gift shop, yeah.
Like, yeah, first question I'd ask, they'd be like, you want to see the Yoda fountain? Is it on the way to the gift shop? That's what I want to know.
It is.
Yeah, I bet it is.
But, and then years later, I did all the premieres, like the midnight premieres, that was always in conjunction with Star Walking. And, you know, came good, you know, sort of good mates with a bunch of people that that ran it and were members and stuff. And recently, I got made a lifetime honorary member. So that's pretty sick.
My dude. Look at you.
I don't know if I'm meant to get a plaque or something.
You better.
I get the zine emailed to me every month, but I don't know if you're in Australia, you get a plaque. I would like a plaque. I might make myself my own plaque.
I think you should. If they don't pony up for the plaque, I think you got to take it into your own hands, buddy.
Like Perspex.
Yeah. Yeah. Steel Saunders, lifetime member of Star Walking. Is it Inc?
Yeah.
Star Walking Inc. 2024, whatever year it was established that you were a lifetime member.
It was like last year or the year before. I think it was on May the 4th, maybe. I don't know.
Nice.
They did an interview with me on a live stream, and they surprised me with it at the end.
That's awesome.
Yeah. All right. This next one is pretty sick.
Ooh, do you want me to handle this, or are you going to take this one?
You go for it, because it's an easy one to read.
Discover.
On the screen, because Hollis doesn't have the book. That's what I'm...
either way is fair, buddy. Let's be honest. You've heard me read emails.
No, but if someone's just like watching this on YouTube for the first time, and they're like, whoa, that's...
September 29th. Following 1986's Challenger disaster, NASA finally resumed space shuttle missions with the successful launch of the space shuttle Discovery.
Now, listen. I've been watching this show, this documentary, For All Mankind. It's on Apple.
I was about to ask where that was.
Yeah, and it reveals the true history of spaceflight. And did you know that there's like bases on the moon with Russians and Americans?
Hell yeah. I had to like in my brain configure my response to be as PG-13 as possible, but yeah, hell yeah. That's what I like to hear.
Do you know what this show's about?
I don't.
It's pretty fascinating. It's an alternate history. Like what if happened if the Russians were the first to the moon?
Okay, so it's an alternate history sort of related around the space race.
Yeah. So it's all retro and stuff. And the conceit is that everything in history is the same, but then the Russians get to the moon first, and then how that changes.
Right, that's where
it history. And like this is fictionalized, and it does like the way because the technology goes faster because it's competition. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's a lot easier in the show to go into space than I feel like it would be in real life.
Okay, all right.
But even so, like screw going into space.
Oh man. You know, when I was a kid, I thought it would be awesome to go into space. And now as I get older and like, you know, there's people that tried, you know, they have like those and they're very expensive where you can take a trip into sort of like the very beginning of space. No, thank you. Mm-mm. No, thanks. Not for me.
I might be up for that.
You think?
Yeah. But just the going into space, like the engines that have to get you through the atmosphere and
stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. No buys at all. And, and the stuff that happens in this show, like the dangers in space and the things that it's just like, nah, check it.
Okay. Couple questions. Is the show set like post, like, is it modern day, quote unquote, but just after the branch off in the timeline where Russia makes it to the moon first? Or is it like set in the 70s, 80s? You know, what's going on there?
I don't know where it ends up because I'm only halfway through of what's up already. And it's still in production. I know because I'm in it.
Do you get to go to space?
I'm a cameraman.
Oh, hell yeah.
But No, dude. I was talking to someone about it, and because I was saying to Jackie, like, I watch things now, and like, there's one scene where there's like way too many extras for this hallway, and I'm like, what are they doing? It's just out. I see all that stuff in the back because it's kind of funny, but the one thing that came up in my head to Jackie, I was just like, how cool is it that there's a moon set somewhere within half an hour of where we are? We could go to this moon set. And I talked to someone the other day that has like they were on the same lot and they've seen the moon set with the door open. And it's just like, oh, it's so sick.
That's awesome. So I need you to do me a favor when you have the time, buddy. I don't have Apple TV. I'm interested in another sci-fi show on there called Foundation.
I hear it's good.
Watch a couple episodes for me when you have the time and report back, because I don't know. It's, you know, I don't know if I'm ready to make the commitment to another streaming service just for one show.
Oh,
but I've heard it's good too.
The Apple TV, they make it very hard to share the account.
I think everybody's doing that lately.
Because they've got the iCloud, it all links to iCloud. It's just like, it's quite ingenious. It makes it really easy to sign in if you're the person.
Yeah.
Anyways, because I put out a tweet saying, because we're out of things to watch after we finish The Americans, and I'm very picky about what I'm going to.
The next one on the list, yeah.
Yeah, so I put out a tweet saying, hey, what of the sci-fi shows on Apple TV are good? And they said them, like, there was lots of recommendations, but the main one was that one, For All Mankind. And the idea of, like, the concept of it is like, ooh, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's a cool concept, yeah.
It's really good. I'm like, we are in.
Yeah.
Like, we're watching.
How many seasons are up?
So four.
Already?
Yeah.
Hell yeah. I love something that's got a bunch to dive in and catch up on.
So, but yeah, the whole thing of, like, all those boosters underneath and you're sitting on top, like, it's just, no.
Dangerous.
Yeah. And just things happen in space. Mm-mm. Take my chances in LA.
Mm-hmm.
Whores.
You want me to handle this for you? The Skywalker Library. No month or date for this one.
No, it's in September.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah.
Oh, you don't have the book. You don't see how it's laid out. Let's just take in that picture.
That's a sick picture. That dome, that stained glass dome in the ceiling.
It's just got, like, it just looks like it's been there for 500 years.
I know. You think they got any graphic novels on those shelves?
I don't know. They had some in the lobby at Lucasfilm. I can confirm that. And some EU. But that double story library with the curling stick, like, it is just like, it looks like one of the 10 best bookshops in the world.
Right. It looks like a movie set.
That don't have books that I'd be interested in.
Right, exactly.
There's one down in LA downtown, The Last Bookstore or something. Mm-hmm. And it's beautiful, but, oh, never bought anything from there.
Yeah, it's probably a little too highbrow for my interest.
Well, high-end Jacqueline has, but not I.
Yeah. Yeah. The Skywalker Ranch Research Library acquires Paramount's own library when the studio can no longer maintain the budget for proper library maintenance. The acquisition triples the overall size of Skywalker Ranch's collection. The ranch library also acquires the personal audio tape collection of Joseph Campbell, which contains lectures recorded throughout his career.
Do not wag school. Eat your greens. Be a hero. Eat your greens.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Cambo. And in the little caption, it says the Paramount collection includes the copy of Ben-Hur that was checked out by legendary film director Cecil B. DeMille in 1927. So, that library card, there's a picture of a library card there.
Mm-hmm.
That's either mocked up or he never took the book back.
Or maybe, yeah, that's a good question. Because then, like, well, unless he kept it, he left it in the book when he returned it.
No, but then there'd be other borrowers underneath.
There would. You're right. He checked that bad boy out and never returned it.
He's going to have Bookman on his case.
Mm-hmm.
That Bookman, the character in Seinfeld. God, that is funny. Like, you can see Seinfeld like cracking up. That he's just like, oh man, that is funny.
I saw something online yesterday, and I'll say I don't know which movie it's from. It's from one of
No. Sorry, I don't mean to cut in. You should just say to someone just the first half of that sentence and just stop. Just say, I saw something online yesterday. Yeah, what?
Just leave it there. I just saw something online yesterday.
What have you been doing? I saw something online yesterday.
It was example of somebody breaking in a movie.
Okay.
They left it in. And it's from one of the Fast and the Furious movies. And it's Tyrese and Ludacris at a barbecue. And The Rock walks in, and it was ad lib.
Sounds like my dream last night.
And I can't remember what Tyrese says to the Rock, but The Rock says, "Well, you need to watch out because of that big ass forehead." And Ludacris next to Tyrese breaks, and they left it in the movie. And I was like, "Damn, The Rock roasted him with a fucking ad lib. Dang, man, I smell what you're cooking, Dwayne."
Well, you know, The Rock's going off at the moment.
Oh yeah, I've seen a lot of Rock stuff, and it just kind of passes over my head because I don't know. I'm not much interested in too much that The Rock has ever done in his career.
No, but he's back on wrestling.
Oh really? I didn't even know that. Damn.
Oh really? I'm surprised that your pop culture radar has not like. Because you know, wrestling's in at like a peak at the moment. Like, it's,
oh really?
Yeah, it's making a gang of cash, Yeah, and in the news for all sorts of amazing and disgusting reasons. Yeah,
the only one that crossed my radar was, you know, somebody doing a little bit of a Josh Trank maneuver.
Yeah, oh, not even. Dude. It's having a huge surge, and that's been pushed along even further by the return of The Rock, and he's like a bad guy.
Okay.
And if you thought he dissed Tyrese, he's going like off. Like, he's in the old, he's doing like his old 90s character.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very entertaining. It's WrestleMania season. Did you know that, Horse?
Oh, I guess it is coming up on that, right?
It's the showcase of the immortals, the granddaddy of them all.
In the Phantom Menace, when they put that big Gungan shield up, you know what I'm talking about, to protect from, that's, I have that shield up against wrestling. And the only time something passed through that shield when there was some caca poo poo involved, and I was like, oh well, that's messed up. No surprise there, though.
That steel's a freak.
No, nothing. It didn't make me go, damn, Steele's into this. What's wrong with him? I was just like, this is not surprising at all. Of course, that dude's an asshole. Anybody that works behind the scenes in wrestling is an asshole.
I wouldn't go that. No.
A large.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. This is.
Come on, Steele. Give me this one, buddy. Give me this one, Steele.
Yeah, I didn't click.
I have this.
Oh, no way.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The next article is about the emergence of herpes, everyone.
Buddy, I think it's been around a little longer than 1988.
Wouldn't know.
Me neither. Me neither. Don't have it. I have this. Oh, man. You got me with that one.
That's all the time we got for...
See you next week.
Okay. October Assault on Hoth is released by West End Games. This board recreates the epic struggle of rebel snowspeeders versus imperial walkers. Assault on Hoth is a two-player Star Wars board game. The picture shows some sort of booklet, a box filled with
Little miniatures?
Little Monopoly style pieces that I can't make out. And then a map. Are any of those plastic pieces walkers or just hotels that are meant to represent walkers?
So let me look, because I have that. And I just saw this copy of this that I have for the first time in life.
I think it's cardboard cutouts that you bend over. I've got it zoomed in. It looks like folded up cardboard in there or something. Which is like, if it was little plastic micro machines, it'd be like, oh, yes, pretty sick. Like, which is sort of how they do it now. What?
I'm looking at the game pieces. Well, it might be a newer version. So the ones I'm looking at here look like they have actual.
But on the screen, they look like just folded up pieces of paper. Like, look at the fold.
Yeah. It's hard to tell on that. That's why I wanted to look. So I bought this at a comic book store used, and the guy was like, hey, I think all the pieces are in there. And then I never played it. And then I didn't think about this board game for years until I moved into my new house, and my parents were like, hey, now that you have a house, we're going to bring all this dumb Star Wars shit.
Yeah.
And that's when I saw that board game for the first time. I didn't open it. I just sent you a picture of the little pieces.
On what?
Twitter. But they're pretty sick. They're definitely nowhere near as detailed as the pieces you would find in like a modern Star Wars board game. But they're definitely little walkers and soldiers and snow speeders and stuff.
Okay, I see that. They are sick and they're painted and they're little. Mm-hmm. But that paper, you can tell it's different. It's a different version.
Look at this. My man is doing real research here. Look at that. You're right. Well, no. I don't know. Want to compare the two? No, oh, you're right. The hexagons, like the little tiles that they go on, are different.
Yeah, they're far more pronounced on the new version.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it might have just been little cardboard pieces in the original run. I don't know how many runs of this game they did.
All right. This is an interesting one, Hawes. Right there, I'll get some zoom going. Tibet, November. A group of Tibetan monks visit Skywalker Ranch to use the scoring stage's unique acoustics to record an album of chants. The 21 monks are members of the Gyuto Order. Hawes,
I think you might have been closer with the last one, the Gyuto Order, I think.
And then there's a pic of them chilling.
Sick headwear.
At Skywalker Ranch, yes. And like, what a sly move by one of these monks.
Mm-hmm.
It's just really like a little too into Yoda.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, this is a way I might be able to get to that latex model. We'll record a couple chants on the ranch.
I got to look this album up. I got to check it out.
Really?
Oh, I just want to know, like, I got to hear it. This whole All album right. recorded at Skywalker Ranch. These six dudes here, they look sick as hell.
God, you really got a 90s level desperation for anything Lucasfilm.
Yeah, right. It's really hitting here lately. No, I got to check it out. I'm not saying it's going to be in heavy rotation on my Spotify. But who knows? Maybe I really get into it.
It's so weird that on the same app, you can listen to Tibetan monks chant or Joe Rogan. It's just like a very,
yeah. Yeah.
The Land Before Time, Hawes. This is in, I think this must be in December. Oh, no, this must be November. I don't know. It's one of these months. I'd say it must be November, actually. Oh, yes, there is a November date. November 18th. The animated dinosaur adventure, The Land Before Time, is released to theaters, directed by Don Bluth. Oh, the Bluth Company or whatever that company was called, an executive produced by Lucas and Spielberg. The film follows the five young dinosaurs. I remember working out, going, hey, this produced by, this doesn't mean it's like Star Wars.
Right, right.
What a rot. It follows five young dinosaurs on a quest to reach the safety of the Great Valley. Bluth, a maverick who had left behind the Disney studio system to open up his own competing animation shop, had previously collaborated with Spielberg on 1986's American Tale. Says Lucas, Steve had an idea and about baby dinosaurs, and he wanted me to executive produce it. Yeah, to grift the system. With him since its first release, there have been 12 Land Before Time sequels. Do you reckon executive producer, does he get any kickback on the sequels, or is this a contract by contract case?
If it lists him, I wonder if he and Steven Spielberg are still listed as executive produced in like the 13th Land Before Time.
But this was, due to my age, I've never seen this because it came out in a time where I'm like, you know, teenagers aren't hitting up the Land Before Time, I don't think, that heavily. But my awareness of it was because of this parody skateboard graphic in like 92 or 93 by World Industries, who would then go on to make the Flame Boy and Deviled Man characters.
I know those.
But in this one, the dinosaur eats the green dinosaur, and you can see there's a big chunk of meat left out of him. And the other dinosaurs are
poor guys,
very concerned for their friend.
So upset. Man, if you're ever hanging out with Harry and he's like, I want to watch Land Before Time, don't do it, Steve or Steel. Emotional damage. The opening of that movie.
Oh, thank you. Good call.
Yeah, real. Like that's a buddy to buddy thing there, because it emotionally damaged me as a kid.
All right, good. I am open to emotional damage, so I appreciate that. Then we've got some alsos.
Oh, also wins,
bro.
Is it a good one? Oh, it's so good. Oh my God, it's so good.
Man, I'm going to be able to make a sweet mashup of things that you said this episode.
Man, that is a good one. It's a, let me see, Panasonic? Is that a Panasonic ad?
I don't know. This one... Like, the caption does say... Oh, so anyway, I'll read the caption. This advert showing Yoda and Lucas levitating is one of the many Panasonic adverts that feature the Star Wars characters in Japan. And, yeah, so it's a picture of 80s George Lucas.
Whited out, bro. White on white.
Yeah, he's got, like, some billionaire all-white skivvy pant combo going on. He's cross-legged, and he's floating... and Yoda's sitting next to him floating as well. And then there's a video camera that's also floating. Now, the advert says National, but the caption says Panasonic. And then the ads that we'll talk about next episode, Patreon only, because I skipped I looked at the next page and realized there's all these amazing adverts that we will watch then. That's Panasonic as well. So I'm not sure why it says National on this advertisement. But I got these on the backs of, in the 80s, they used to bring out these books in Japan, like a little mini magazine for each movie. And we're in this secondhand bookshop in Tokyo, Book Off. And they had these old, whatever they're called, souvenirs or whatever booklets. And so I got each of the original Star Wars ones, which rip. But then on the backs of some of the latter movies in the 80s, like it was like Willow and maybe the Bodyguard.
Ooh.
It had these ads on the back. And so I was like, oh, I've got to get them just to put them in frames because
they're so sick.
And then this is the other one. This isn't in the book, but this is another one I've got. And it's
oh my goodness.
It's George Lucas, Wicket, and Chewbacca riding a Panasonic satellite dish like a broomstick.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got some, you know, some Japanese text here. It is just, it's haywire.
And that one also says National / Panasonic.
Got you. So
interesting.
Yeah, I don't know if maybe it was. I'm just like dissecting what the like predict, like guessing what the Wikipedia would say, but I think Panasonic was a Japanese brand, and then when they entered America, they branded as National, and then later on they just went, nah, let's just make a Panasonic.
Yeah, and I wonder
because Panasonic's still around, or even in and National is.
You know, Panasonic made maybe one of the worst video game consoles of all time.
Oh, what was it called?
The CDI.
Got you. Our video game names. Like the Sega Saturn.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. The CDI is famous for being the only console that had permission to use Nintendo characters, and they fumbled the bag horrendously. So there's two Zelda games and a Mario game on the CDI that are both awful, and people have been memeing on them for like over a decade, like that, because it's a CD console. It had like full motion animation intros and voice acting and stuff, and they are awful.
I'm so old school, it's so weird to think of a Mario game on a disc,
right?
Doesn't seem right. Now Hawes. Our second also. Oh, actually, I got some close-ups here of the video. Look at that remote.
Ooh.
It's like a murder weapon, and then the camera, which is
just sick.
And yeah, we'll watch those ads next.
Those ads rule.
And yes, all right. Our last, also in 1988, Hawes. Hold on to your wallet. It's a Imperial TIE. No, what is it called? TIE Interceptor.
Yep.
Boxed above the toy, above a lava planet. And with the caption, Kenner's toy line is revitalized in Brazil years after it ended in the US. Now, I have seen this box in at toy fair type places and celebration.
Too, and it's expensive.
It's like 2 G's or something, isn't it? Like, But man, that box, it's so rad. If you're just watching the podcast, it's got the toy, and then it's like it's all painted, and then it's above, flying above this lava planet. There's an X-wing in the background, and for the first time ever, I can notice. Is that the Millennium Falcon down there?
It might be.
But then there's a picture of like an actual photo of Darth Vader asking Luke to reach out to the dark side in Empire Strikes Back.
And it says TV guide.
Yeah, TV something.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe guide. It's
like the TV guide logo.
And it's got power. It's Power of the Force logoing, which is the really expensive end of the line packets that people are after, and then all the text is in Brazilian, if that's a language. But I don't. Is Brazil
Spanish? Don't they? Maybe they just speak Spanish in Brazil.
And it's Nave Imperial. Royale with cheese. Everything sounds better in a foreign language.
Man, that I've seen that box at every celebration I've ever gone to, and mostly every con I've gone to. Like, there's always somebody at one of those, specifically Celebration, really, where there's just a guy who sells vintage Star Wars stuff, and not a single piece is cheap. He really just has to sell one thing, and he's set for the weekend, right? I've seen this thing for like, yeah, $2,000 plus. There's a guy that had one at Frank and Sons as well.
Oh, okay, sweet. And that's it, whores.
No, that's more 88.
Should we go back to the future? Yeah. Flick forward, see what's there. Mm-hmm. All right, I think you did it last time via guessing a page number. All right. Oof,
where to start?
I've hit 2002, page 237, and we're in the post Attack of the Clones. Wait there, I'll get
there. We go.
You got the Size Matters Not Yoda poster
For the IMAX, yep, and then there's the DVD releases Star Wars Bounty Hunter on the PlayStation 2. Shoot.
I gotta say, back then when those DVDs dropped with like all the extra disc and the deleted scenes and the documentary and the trite commentary. That day. Love. Like the menu screens and
Do you remember getting Phantom Menace on Blu-ray for the first time and one of the discs was Darth Maul's pattern? I was like, they know what to do here, man. Boy, they know how to put together a DVD package.
Oof, man. And you were so stinging. Do you know what I mean? Because you hadn't watched like 1,000 billion YouTubes and all this. Mm-hmm. So it was just like,
Mm-hmm. Oh, the special features on those too.
Man. Very good. All right.
Very good.
Thank you to everyone. If you're watching this today, then I'm gonna be doing a live watching of the Acolyte trailer at 9:30 Pacific Standard Time. So 12:30 on the East Coast,
and this is in the morning.
Yeah, so I get everyone off to work and school. I'm gonna stay off the internet, and then I'm gonna go live and check it out.
Stay off the internet basically until I get off work tomorrow, and that's gonna suck. That's gonna be tough.
So why won't you watch it at lunchtime or anything?
You know what? I didn't think about that. I probably can watch it at lunch, but I kind of like to sit down and watch it on my big TV instead of my phone the first time. You know what I mean?
Totally.
We'll see.
Totally. But yeah, I'm pumped. Very excited.
Me too. I can't wait to see.
Have you ever watched the bootleg one?
Oh, yeah.
I never watched it.
Honestly, probably a good call because it is bootleg quality.
Yeah, I remember just seeing images of it or something, and it's like, it's a potato.
Did you see King Tom's tweet about it? Really funny, saying that the trailer should start off being like, for 2 years, this is how people watch the Acolyte trailer, and it's like the potato quality, you know, on bootleg, and now, you know, and it bursts out of the screen. Perfect.
King Tom.
Yeah, man.
All right, Horace, thanks so much. Thanks to everyone for watching or listening. Thanks to our Patreon supporters that do that all the time. We've been pumping them out. I reckon we're every 2 weeks at the moment.
Yeah,
we're trying to do more, but then you know,
things happen. Things happen.
But yeah, cheers. Great fun. And May, why didn't I get any things come up when I put up my peace sign? Hey, There we go.
There we go.
Got some balloons coming up. May that force be with you.
See you later, guys.